Welcome to Ilani Talks, a podcast focused on self-care, love, and all that comes with it. I'm your host, Ilani Salcedo. I'm a mental and emotional health writer in the wellness space, and this is just an extension in voice format, of course, that I do on IlaniSalcedo.com. The beautiful images photographers are able to capture for special events, portraits, and whatever niche they work in is breathtaking to see. I love grabbing my camera and doing it for fun or creating posts for my own content, but when it comes to the pros, it's unbelievable how much work really goes into it. In this episode, Lauren Anderson, who runs her own photography business as a wedding photographer, shares how she began at a young age while not realizing she could make a career out of it. It didn't begin by capturing people as she does today, but her journey is one that can inspire the avid photographer, the hobbyist photographer, and those who have their own photography business in general. While we speak a lot about her journey and business, we also dive into another part of her that adds the balance she needs, yoga. Listen in on the conversation and get ready to be motivated to be your best self. Hi, Lauren. Thank you so much for being on Ilani Talks today. Like I do for every guest, I begin with two questions. What do you do and what do you want to be known for?
Awesome. So thank you so much for having me, first of all.
Of course.
I'm so excited. So what do I do? I'm a New Jersey-based wedding photographer. I also am a photography business coach for photographers looking to grow their business. And I'm also a yoga teacher on the side. So I do a bunch of different things.
Perfect. And what do you want to be known for?
Oh, right. Oh my gosh. That's such a hard one. I feel like.
I love posing that question because it makes you actually really think.
It does. Yeah. I feel like because people are so multifaceted and there are like so many things that I'm always, you know, diving into. So, but I would say like the main thing, especially as like a wedding photographer, is just making other people feel really good about themselves, you know, and kind of just giving them a day to remember, a stress-free day, a fun experience. And that just blends into everything else in life, like just being a good person, helping other people out, helping them figure out what their passion is and helping them, you know, find that. And like, what I believe in, you know, whatever lights you up, you should go for in life. So especially as a photography business coach, a lot of these people, it's kind of a struggle to go from like a 9-to-5 job into building your own business. So, you know, you need help. I would not be where I was today without other people, you know, helping me along the way. So if I could be that light for someone and help them, you know, get to where they want to be, I think that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And I love how you mentioned kind of like the topics we will be talking about, which is obviously your photography and your yoga. But before getting into the yoga part, I do want to ask for like the audience to also get more insight of what you do and how you go through the process of your photography. The first question for you is, as a photographer, how long have you been doing it professionally?
Professionally, I started in, when was it? It was 2013 when I opened up the business. That was 7 years ago. So I was 20, but I was always doing a bunch of different photography stuff, like in high school and college. It kind of just was always a passion of mine. And then one day I decided like, hey, I actually really love this. And I figured out that I could make money off of it and, you know, make a career out of it. So it kind of just happened naturally for me to kind of move into the wedding industry. So I was just taking pictures of people, you know, fitness models, everything. And then it just got into that. So I just dove in head first. And then 2013, I got my LLC, which was really, really great. I had, obviously as like a 20-year-old, you don't know the steps that you need to take. I was really young, but I knew for sure. I was like, this is what I want to do. I felt so, so passionate about it. And I absolutely loved it. There wasn't any place that I would go to without, you know, holding my camera. So my family was really, really supportive along the way. As soon as I told my mom, I remember she was like, okay, if you're going to do this and start charging people, like, we need to get you set up properly. So I feel like the next day or like that week, she immediately like, you know, booked a lawyer meeting and we saw all these different accountants. And so that was really, really great to have that support.
Oh, that's great. That's great to have the support to kind of push you through, especially how you said you're passionate about it and having that support of your mom, especially just getting you out there kind of, I'm mm-hmm. sure, drove you a little bit more to like have this career and start it.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's so nice to have like that backing too, especially when mm-hmm. you are super young going into something like that and you don't have the resources, you don't know. You know, everyone that was around me, like we were all in college just trying to like survive. We had no idea what they were even like wanting to do with the rest of their lives. So yeah, that was really, really great.
Yeah, absolutely. And although you did just touch upon like what inspired you, but was there anything when you were younger that inspired you to take on this career, or what kind of led up to that from high school and beyond?
Yeah, so it's so funny. So I actually remember seeing, I think I was in high school and I remember just browsing through Facebook, and I don't know if it was like a friend of mine or if it was just like one of those business pages that were on there, but I remember seeing some photography work, you know, mm-hmm. like black and white pictures and just regular like artsy images. And I remember just being so drawn to it and thinking to myself, okay, like if this person can do this, so can I. So mm-hmm. I literally just searched my house for any type of camera I could find. At that time, I don't even think my phone had a camera on it. That's like how far back we're talking. So I remember I found like a random point and shoot camera in my house, and it was like the worst thing ever.
But I can only imagine the quality of pictures.
I literally was like, let me just try this. Let me see, you know. So I remember taking pictures of doorknobs. I would like pose plants on my desk and like take pictures, like try to find all the different angles with it. Oh my God, it was crazy. But so I would say like, that was my starting point. So I remember taking a bunch of pictures outside of flowers, like those really close up shots, mm-hmm. And just getting really into it, just diving in, taking pictures of anything that I could find. I would go to the beach all the time and just like take pictures of, mm-hmm. you know, people walking or like anything, you know? Yeah. And then I wound up posting those on Facebook just because, you know, I was like proud of my little collection that I developed. Yeah. And that's actually how other people started like figuring out that I was passionate about it. And then they would start to ask me, hey, are you interested in photographing? I had someone ask me to photograph their car one time. So it moved on to cars, mm-hmm. not there. And then eventually it moved on to people. So it was kind of cool that, and I would say that that's like how it evolved. I literally just kind of saw something one day and wanted to try it out.
Definitely passionate about it. And I'm sure that, like, I'm not going to say every photographer starts off like that, but I think that that's probably like a common story. Like, you just want to take pictures of whatever, and then you get opportunities because you do kind of like put it out there, not with the intention that you're going to get something out of it, but just because you like it. And exactly, people like what you do, and they're like, oh yeah, can you take a picture of this and that? And then you really find what you want to do, which you mentioned wedding photography, but what specifically called out to you on that to continuously like focus on that specifically?
So it's kind of funny because I, you know, when I was in that photographing car phase, I was like doing everything for free, right? Like I mm-hmm. didn't even know, because I was in like high school and college, so yeah. I didn't even know that you could make money off of that. I was just doing it for fun because mm-hmm. it was a hobby and I enjoyed it. But then one day someone said, hey, I am, you know, proposing to my girlfriend, can you take photos of this? Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling like, me, like, you know, I was like so taken back. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm qualified, like I don't know. But I did it, you know. I just was like, hey, like, let's try it out, because mm-hmm. I had that open mind and I just said yes and went for it. And I wound up just absolutely loving it. I loved the whole entire process. And then from there, I basically tried to reach out to other photographers in New Jersey, because I loved working with couples so much, because it was mm-hmm. such an exciting time.
Yeah.
And I remember how happy they were, and I was just so happy for them. So I was like, this is amazing. Like, if this could be my job, that would be awesome. I'd be happy all the time.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. So,
So I started reaching out to New Jersey wedding photographers and seeing if I could second shoot for them and if I could learn from them and obviously really dive into an actual wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them allowed me to be a third shooter and kind of observe, ask questions, you know, take some pictures if I wanted to. And that was really, really helpful in my growth. So
awesome. That's a great experience. Yeah. How many times were you able to, or like not how many times, but how many people or photographers were you able to kind of do that with? Was it on a consistent basis, or it was just kind of whenever you were able to do it?
So I had two girls take me on they were really, really nice too. They were like, yeah, just come, like, you know, you can see how everything goes. And I remember them saying, you know, they did the same thing. So they were all about it. But I would say it wasn't like on a regular basis. I just basically said, hey, can I come, you know, to one or two? Because I did want to just see if I even liked it. But I did love it. So after that, I tried to kind of like establish my own thing and see if I could get my own bookings and stuff. But it did take a while because I was so young. I think that that had like a large factor in it. But yeah, so it was once in a while, but it was really, really great. I would say that's how I learned the most. It's really just getting that hands-on experience and diving in, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And with finding the wedding industry on taking pictures for your clients and your couples, how do you usually try to make them feel comfortable during their big day and photo shoots in general? Because I know I've been on the receiving end of like your photo shoots and that's been fun. I mean, you definitely have made it comfortable, but I'm just a little bit curious, how do you make like brides and grooms feel comfortable in the wedding party? Just because that's such a nerve-wracking day, and especially like on engagements as well, like that's nerve-wracking for whoever's proposing. So
yeah, and I think like that's the biggest thing to understand, like you have to put yourself in their shoes. Like they are definitely feeling nervous, especially in the planning, you know, part. There's so many things to plan. It can be very overwhelming. And so me starting out before I was even engaged So I didn't really understand that. So once I kind of talked to more brides and really got to know like what goes on, you know, during the planning process, I was like, okay, so they need someone there to support them. They need someone to just be able to bring a stress-free experience. So I kind of brought that into the, like into shooting. And then a lot of it has to do with just connection building. I love to connect with my clients before the actual wedding day. So we'll set up an engagement session. I include that complimentary in all my packages because it really gives me the opportunity to get to know them. It allows them to feel comfortable with me before their wedding day. So I think that's really, really important. And then, like I said, we just, I mean, you know, because you've been on the receiving end of a shoot, we literally just like laugh the entire time.
Yeah,
we
walk around
to all these different spots. And I'm just kind of like, I'll guide you also. So a lot of people, that's like the number one question they ask me. They're like, okay, so I feel really self-conscious. I don't think I'm photogenic. Like, can you tell me what to do? And I'm like, oh my gosh, first of all, you're beautiful, no matter what. Let's just get that out of the way. Second of all, I do guide you. And a lot of the times, because we're just laughing and going back and forth and just connecting and building our relationship, that brings out like natural emotions in them. And that's when I'm like clicking away nonstop. So we do get those natural raw emotion photographs that, and those are the candid ones that they absolutely love because when they look at that, that really brings them back to that moment and they can have all those amazing feelings again, you know, with their significant other. So.
Yeah, definitely. And that kind of goes into my next picture, my next question for you. So what's a good a picture in a sense as a photographer? Obviously you just mentioned like the candid part, but is there anything in specific that you definitely look for when taking like the best picture for your clients?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely, you can get into like the technical, like the composition part and obviously lighting is everything when it comes to like taking a photograph. So there are those things, those technical things that you learn, like if you take a photography class, like the rule of thirds and everything, kind of, and you know, different angles. But I would say the things that I really look for in an image or what I'm usually striving for is, again, to really connect and have them just feel very relaxed on the other side of the camera. Because if they are not feeling connected with you and if they're nervous and if they're feeling tense or anything like that, you're going to see that. It's going to pick up in the image. And that's not going to give them that excited feeling when they look back. They're going to be like, I hate these, you know? So I think that's like the biggest thing, and just creating an image that allows them to feel that emotion, that happiness or, you know, that laughter that, you know, they felt on that day. So
And that's definitely really important because that's what you remember, and seeing it captured beautifully, I think, you know, that's what everybody looks for in a way. And whether you want to get really technical with this question I'm about to ask you or however you want to answer it, what's kind of like your editing process? Because with the next few questions, I am going to get more into like the business side of things and just photography for photographers, not so much the client part of it.
Yeah. So the editing process is one of my other favorite things to do. So after a session, I usually go home like immediately because I'm so excited to edit all these images. I use Lightroom, which is amazing. I sometimes use Photoshop for, you know, more detailed work, but I'm basically in Lightroom 24/7. So I just download all of the images in. And then in photography, you have this thing called culling. You're culling your images. So that means you're selecting the images that you want for their final gallery. So I'll go in. Mm-hmm. I give them everything from their session. The only thing that I'm really taking out is, you know, my test shots or like blurry images that, you know, just happen to happen. So I pick all the images. So then we have our finals, right? So then from those finals, I have a preset that I literally click once and it applies to all of the images, which is really amazing. And that's why I love Lightroom so much, because you can literally edit all of your images with one click of a button. So it makes it really, really simple. Again, it all comes down to lighting. And whenever we switch locations, the lighting does tend to change. So I just go through each individual image and I make sure that, you know, the lighting is okay. So you have to make little adjustments on each one, but ultimately you have that preset on all of the images. So it does really make it super, super easy. And then once I am satisfied with the gallery, I'll upload it to an online gallery and then send it over to them. And it's that easy.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. That preset sounds great.
Yeah. Oh,
and especially when you have probably hundreds and hundreds of pictures that you take per day.
Yeah. And it's so funny because I remember when I first started, I would just import, and I did weddings too, like this, the nightmare. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how I did this before, but I would just import one image one by one into Photoshop, put one preset on it, spend like hours editing one, and then have like literally thousands more to go. So yeah, Lightroom is a total lifesaver.
How long would that usually take you when you used to do it through Photoshop?
It was so inefficient. It literally took, I mean, it would take like months, honestly. So, and now Lightroom, you can only get, you know, wedding photos back within, you know, one month or less, really. So that's what's really great about it.
Yeah. And it just helps with you and it helps with the customers getting their pictures sooner. That's great. For photographers, what advice would you give those looking to get into photography, or if they already have a business, to grow their business a little bit more?
Yes. So I would say the biggest thing is getting that hands-on experience and also investing in yourself, in your education. So we'll just like talk about experience first. So like I said, that's exactly what I did. Like, find someone in your state, in your area that you can shadow, that you can second shoot for, because that is what's going to allow you to ask those questions and get that direct, you know, information that you need. A lot of the things that I learned early on were because I second shot, I just dove right in and I was able to observe and kind of like learn from professionals who had already established themselves. So that was really, really great. And then I modeled myself off of them. And then the second thing is investing in yourself. So I cannot tell you how many online courses I have taken on photography, marketing, digital marketing. I mean, everything, like the list goes on. So that's the thing too. When you are a photographer, you're a creative, right? So you're not really thinking of like the business side, but then you, as a creative, you want to do what you love. You want to create a career out of your passion, right? So you have to learn the business side. Otherwise you're not going to succeed. So I would say the biggest thing, you know, to succeed in that is really to just dive in, learn about marketing, learn about how you could build your business. And that's exactly how I did it. So that's what I would recommend.
And then talking about business, while productivity and finding ways to grow your own is essential to any business's success, I know it's definitely common as an owner to just consume yourself with all the work and kind of forget about other areas of your life outside of work. So how do you take stock in the energy that you spend as an entrepreneur and still be like a regular person in your day-to-day life?
Yeah. So this was something, I mean, especially when my business picked up, I mean, I would actually say this, because I built my business alongside of like right after I graduated college. So I actually had a full-time 9-to-6 job. And then I would come home and try and edit photos and like be that weekend warrior out at weddings on weekends. And so I was always burnt out. It was bad. And I didn't even realize it really. And I think that's why I gravitated towards yoga and meditation, because I needed it, you know? So That was like a huge wake up call for me. When I kind of reached that burnout moment when I was just so exhausted and I didn't know how I was going to kind of keep living this lifestyle of just like barely sleeping, but still showing up for my clients as happy as I can be, as my best self, right? So I would say the key is to create a balance, especially if you are in that stage of, you know, working your full-time job, but still trying to build that business so that eventually you can leave it. That stage is crucial to like your health and everything. So you really have to be mindful of how you're feeling. I do a lot of inner work all the time. And I'm like always checking in with myself and seeing like, okay, you know, Monday through Friday, I can set my work hours. And then after 6 p.m., I'm shutting down. I'm going to turn off all of my electronics. I'm going to give myself that time so that I can fill up my cup so that I could best serve others, right? There's that saying, like you can't serve from an empty cup, I think is what it's
like. Yeah, definitely.
And it's so true. And I found that in order to show up as my best self, in order to bring that amazing over-the-top experience for my clients, to get those amazing reviews and everything, I need to be filling up myself. I need to make sure I am taking care of myself, eating healthy, relaxing, taking a meditation or yoga class. And then this way I can, you know, feel great about serving others. So that's really, really important for sure.
I 100% agree with you. Being a writer myself, I work from home and I work for myself. And like, I love how you mentioned that you kind of schedule out your week and you see what you need to do. And then after six, like you sign off, you don't, you know, touch anything. And that's literally my schedule too. Like after six, like I cannot work in the evenings. It just exhausts me. And there's no way I could like work on what I'm doing if I'm exhausted. That structure is definitely important.
Definitely. And I'm sure, because you know, like, I'm sure you've worked at like 2 a.m. in the morning before, like trying to get all your stuff done. And
absolutely.
A lot of the time, it doesn't even get done properly. It doesn't even, and then you wind up having to redo it, you know? So it's kind of like, you need to set those boundaries for yourself.
Yeah. If not, you're doing double the work and nobody wants that. Yeah. And I know you mentioned yoga and meditation, and that's kind of where the rest of the questions are kind of leading to. So you're a yoga instructor. What made you kind of get into that? And what's yoga to you?
What is yoga to me? Oh my gosh, I love it so much. So I can go on this forever. So it's funny because I actually did yoga in middle school. Me and my best friend in middle school, we would like wake up at like 5 a.m. and there was this one channel on the TV at 5 a.m. It was this like man with a ponytail in like a tropical island. And we would literally just like do whatever he did. He did all of these different like yoga classes and we were all about it. So, and that was when like there were no yoga studios open or anything. So we loved it. And then I noticed that I was just thinking clear throughout the day, you know, I mean, not that I had anything really to think about in middle school, but we loved it. But then, you know, high school and college, it kind of like, you know, faded. I completely forgot about yoga. And then actually I would say like late college, it kind of got reintroduced to me, just because I was kind of like really, really stressed out all over the place. Like I said, I was starting this business. I kind of didn't really even know where to start. So I was feeling like that overwhelm. And one of my friends in college, she was like, oh, hey, like, why don't you come to a yoga class? And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I used to do yoga. That's so funny. And then all of a sudden you see like all these yoga studios start popping up all over the place. So I never had that in studio experience. So I decided to go and take a hot yoga class, which was very new to me. And I loved it. So it was just so enlightening, awakening. I mean, I just felt great after it. And I'm a big believer on, you know, if something feels great, keep doing it. Cause you know, that's, you know, just like what I live on. So, yeah, that's like how I dove in. And then as far as like becoming a teacher, after doing it for 2 years, kind of like practicing, I just wanted to learn more. I wanted to dive in more into the practice, learn more about the history of it. So I took my 200-hour teacher training over in Belmar, or was it Allenhurst? They have a chain. It's called Unique Yoga, but one of those. And yeah, and it was an amazing training. I absolutely loved it. Yeah.
I love that you started it so young too, or like just doing it at home. That's so cool.
Yeah. I just remember that the other day. I was like, you know what? I actually did this like when I was younger, and I just it's so funny when you do things when you're younger and then you just kind of like lose touch with it as you grow older, you know? So that kind of, when I got reintroduced to, you know, to it, I was like, you know what, this is definitely meant to be in my life because it was always there, but I forgot about it, you know? So that was really cool that, you know, all these yoga studios started popping up all over the place. So, yeah.
How do you find yourself being able to maintain your own yoga practice while still having to teach classes for clients?
That was definitely something that was challenging in the beginning as well, especially, you know, after I left my 9-to-6, you know, digital marketing job, I was able to have more time focused on my photography business, which was great. So I was doing that full time. So I, again, when creating my schedule, I was like, okay, so I can teach on Thursdays yoga. So I teach 2 yoga classes on Thursdays at 2 separate studios, 1 in the morning, 1 in the evening. And then I kind of work it into my schedule that way. And then before every single workday, I try to wake up really early and just get in an hour yoga practice myself, because that actually is something that I love implementing into my days, just because it helps me get into a much better headspace for the workday. So I'll do that. I'll do a meditation, whether it's from home or at a studio. I just make sure that I do that because I know that I'll feel so full, so filled with energy for the rest of the day. So
yeah, that's so important too. And I'm sure as a yoga instructor, like when you, the days that you do teach, you kind of also need that as well to like serve them well.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And for our listeners, can you share any advice on self-care and creating a consistent practice, or to even begin a yoga practice? Because I know some people are kind of like scared or skeptical that it'll make them feel good, or just like really nervous of trying something new.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of people. It's so funny because I'm always like diving into all these things and I'm like, well, if I hate it, I just won't do it then ever again.
Yeah.
So I try to encourage people to kind of have that mindset, just having that open mind, even if you think you'll hate something, or you not hate, that's like a really strong word, but even if you think that you won't like it, you know, just dive in, try it out anyways, give yourself the opportunity to explore it. And then if you wind up not liking it, you don't ever have to do it again. There's no pressure, right? I think that's the biggest thing.
That is so true.
Yeah. Just giving yourself permission to not feel any pressure. If it's something that has been on your mind, if you're interested in it, why not try, right? So that, and then just, you know, if you do love it and if you do really want to make it a part of your daily routine, if you feel like meditation helps you, I'm not saying meditation's like for everybody. I mean, for me personally, it does wonders. I absolutely love it. But yeah, just to be very disciplined. I actually, you know, started working on this with my fiance like a month ago. We're now waking up early. I'm not an early person at all, let me tell you. So we started really getting into routine and just being disciplined. This way we can get more out of our day. We can be more productive. We can feel a lot better. We're focusing more on cooking and what we eat so that we feel a lot better. So I think that can be applied to anything, you know, just, you know, with yoga too. If you want to implement something, you just have to learn to develop that discipline. And I mean, for me, I just love it. So I just wake up and do it. And I think that that's what happens after. I think they say it takes like 30 days to form a habit. And then it's just kind of like routine. Mm-hmm. Like some people, they hate going to the gym, but then after, you know, pushing themselves and going for a while, it's kind of like they can't wake up one day and not go, you know? So yoga is kind of like the same thing.
Definitely. And it's like building a muscle. Like you're not going to build your muscles in one day. You have to consistently do it in order to kind of get that result and just feel that ease into it as well.
And like it all, like growth comes with that practice too. So as you keep practicing, you'll start to notice like, oh, wow, I feel more flexible today. Or, oh, wow, I was able to sit 1 minute longer in my meditation without freaking out, you know? So it definitely helps the more you do it.
Absolutely. All right, Lauren, to wrap this up, share how you practice self-care in your work and personal life. I know you've kind of like touched upon it, but maybe you could dive into it a little bit more.
Sure, yeah. So again, it's really all about developing that routine. I like to wake up in the morning, have some tea. I will then do a little meditation that leads into usually an hour yoga class. Right now we're in quarantine, so I've been doing that at home, and there's a bunch of online classes, which is really, really great. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go for a walk. I'll try and do a lot of things that help me to just clear my mind. I don't like to just wake up and jump into my day because that feels forced. No one ever likes feeling like that, right? So I think it's good to be mindful of how you feel in the morning. What do you need to do in order to get yourself into the right mindset for the day so that you can be as productive as possible? So I'll do all of that stuff. I love connecting with nature. I actually just bought a paddleboard, so I'm hoping that after my yoga session, I can go out and like maybe go on the water once it starts to get warmer, because I feel like that'll just clear my mind and help with that. But yeah, and then usually after that, I'll come back here, I'll just make a smoothie, I'll just sit down and just dive into emails, doing my work, and I'll be feeling so much energy, so much to give, right? So I'm already filled up with all that energy. So yeah, and like, I absolutely love what I do. So I encourage everyone to just kind of follow that, whatever you feel like doing, just always be working towards that. Yeah. When I had that 9-to-5 job, 9-to-6 actually, and it wasn't bad. I like digital marketing, so I can't complain about that. But I knew that I wasn't doing exactly what I was meant to do, right? So I needed to build myself up in order to make that change one day. So that's like my biggest thing. If you are always following your heart and being true to yourself, being authentic, and giving yourself that space to reflect and to improve, you're going to be exactly where you want to be.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Of course. And thank you so much for having me on. This was so much fun.
Not a problem. Definitely so much fun.
Loved it.
Running your business isn't easy, but it's worth it if it's something you absolutely love. Even with that, finding balance allows you to show up better no matter what your form of self-care is. For me, just like Lauren mentioned, yoga and meditation are two things I include in my life to make sure the energy I put out into my days is in the best way possible. I hope that this episode has motivated you to take a look into your life and where giving up isn't an option. If you're a photographer or business owner, I could only hope that this is also a resource you can listen to time and time again. Thank you for listening to Photography, Business, and Yoga with Lauren Anderson at Ilani Talks today. Kindly leave a comment, follow, rate, share with whom you see fit, and stay tuned for future episodes. Until the next one, with all my love, Ilani.